I'm Brandi Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42. Stay and fight. Sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that and get involved in the political process in Washington State. Welcome to Politics Unpacked. With less than a week left in the legislative session, Democrats seem ready to push through their statewide income tax. It would tax the income of people making over $1 million a year at the rate of 9.9%. There are, of course, a ton of constitutional concerns. But how do we get to this place? So you'll recall that last week, Governor Bob Ferguson said he wasn't ready to sign the tax in its current form. He said that it didn't have the right kind of tax breaks baked into it. But very quickly, State Representative April Berg put out a modified version, obviously with coordination from fellow legislative Democrats. Governor Bob Ferguson came out a couple days ago, said, I will sign this version of the millionaire's tax. He said the new proposal from Rep. Berg ensures significant money goes towards Washington families and small businesses. Now, there's a little disagreement on the word significant. Only 27% of the money brought in that is expected to be brought in through the millionaire's tax is going to tax relief. The bill also fails to include what Governor Ferguson said were his priorities, which would be 2 annual sales tax holidays. And of course, there's just the underlying issue that 11 times Washington voters have rejected an income tax, and it's been ruled time and time again to be against the state constitution.
But there's a lot of things stacking up against Democrats when it comes to the income tax. Just this week, a letter was sent to the governor from Seattle tech leaders warning him that the income tax proposal could hurt the region's AI innovation. This is from GeekWire. In a letter sent Monday to Governor Bob Ferguson, a group of AI researchers, founders, and investors argued that higher taxes on high earners and investment gains would push top talent and future startups elsewhere. In the letter, they wrote, these policies would materially undermine Washington's ability to keep growing the tech sector, which is a core driver of our economy, and would slow the AI innovation and investment momentum that we should be accelerating, not discouraging. That also comes at a time when Amazon announces that it is pushing to significantly reduce vacant office space this year. So Amazon has been moving its footprint. They've also had some layoffs post-COVID. And so the fact that as they move their footprint or as they lay off people, they are not holding on to office space, they're shedding that office space, means that they really have no intention of growing their footprint in Seattle or even maintaining the size of footprint they already have here. And so that certainly is a cause for concern. Also on the economic front, Starbucks announced this week that it's opening a second headquarters in Tennessee. The governor of Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee, put out a statement about this, saying companies across the nation recognize that Tennessee's strong values and fiscal conservative approach are good for business, and we are proud to welcome another Fortune 500 company like Starbucks to our state. So obviously, you know, not a lot of companies need two HQs, so there's a lot of questions about where the Starbucks will be looking to lessen its HQ presence in Seattle and instead start to move jobs over to Tennessee. And this comes after a difficult couple years for Starbucks in Seattle. There's been a lot of crime issues, taxation issues that have been driving the company to close stores, not only in Seattle, but across Washington State. Another bit of news that came out this week that certainly should have Democratic leaders in Olympia questioning whether this is a good time to pass an income tax is this revelation from the Tax Foundation that found if the income tax on millionaires passes overnight, Seattle would become the worst city in the nation for high earners from a tax perspective. So Seattle would have the highest tax rate for the highest income bracket at just over 18%. It would even be beating out New York City at 14.7%. So just a lot of bad economic headlines for Seattle and Washington State as they're weighing whether to add this income tax on high earners. There was also some criticism this week for State Senator Monka Dhingra, who represents a suburb of Seattle, and she has voted in favor of passing the income tax on high earners, yet her campaign website says that she doesn't support a state income tax. It says on her campaign site, I do not support the implementation of a state income tax, and such a policy has been deemed unconstitutional. So on her campaign website, she's saying she doesn't support an income tax and that it's unconstitutional, yet she just voted for a state income tax. that even she says is unconstitutional. So that doesn't make a lot of sense.
If ultimately signed into law, Washington State's new income tax isn't the only bill signed this session that will end up in a court of law sooner rather than later. Senate Bill 5974 has been incredibly controversial. It has now passed in both the House and the Senate. It would add new requirements to people who want to run to be a sheriff, and it would also grant the state's Criminal Justice Training Commission the power to remove an elected sheriff from office if their peace certification is revoked. The new requirements added by SB 5974 would increase the minimum age to be elected a sheriff from 18 to 25. You would also have to have a background check to be a candidate for office. It would also increase the minimum amount of time that a candidate for sheriff will have to have been in law enforcement before running. So right now that's 2 years. It would increase to 5 years. And if you run for sheriff and are elected but you don't have a law enforcement certification, you would have just 9 months to get one. Critics of the bill say it would basically give a non-elected group of bureaucrats the power to remove a duly elected sheriff. They also say that it would hold sheriff candidates to a standard that legislative candidates don't even hold themselves to.
All right, a few bills that have now passed both chambers and will head to Governor Bob Ferguson's desk for a signature. One of them, Senate Bill 5925, dramatically expands the investigative authority of the Attorney General's office. It basically says that if he believes that there is a possibility that someone or an entity has violated the state constitution, the federal constitution, or state or federal law, it grants him this sweeping authority to be able to demand that any person or entity provide his office with any book, record, report, memo, paper, communication, tabulation, map, chart, photograph, transcription, or any other tangible document or recording that he believes is relevant to the subject matter of an investigation that he's undertaken. Now, if the governor signs that into law, there is very likely to be a constitutional challenge against it. Also passed out of both chambers, Senate Bill 5855, and this would prohibit police officers from being masked. Now, this was a bill that was directed really at ICE agents. Democrats didn't like the fact that so many federal agents were covering their faces out in the field, and federal agents have been doing that out of fear for their personal safety or being doxxed. And Senate Bill 5855 was supposed to be sort of a remedy to that in Washington State. But the problem is that state law can't force federal agents to take masks off or not cover their faces. So really, at the end of the day, the only law enforcement officers that this bill will impact will be local police officers. Another bill that has passed out of both chambers is Senate Bill 6091. And this bans so-called pocket listings. So it says it prohibits real estate brokers from marketing residential properties to an exclusive group of prospective buyers or real estate brokers unless the residential property is also concurrently marketed to the general public and other real estate brokers. So it means if you're selling your house, the government now has more control over how you can do that. You can't just put the listing out to a private group or to a certain set of real estate brokers unless it's also listed publicly. A lot of criticism this week for State Representative Julia Reed, who's a Democrat representing a portion of Seattle, for comments she made on the social media platform Blue Sky. So the state budget was being debated on the floor of the House last weekend, and Republicans were making an impassioned plea to add an amendment to the state budget that would basically give more resources to the Department of Children, Youth, and Families to help and investigate cases where kids might have been exposed to deadly drugs in the home. Here's Republican State Representative Josh Penner on that amendment.
$42.9 million in lawsuits related to dead children, dead and dying children. Some of those children are still alive, but some of those children were beat to death because of the imminent physical harm standards in this budget. They were beat to death by hammers. They were smothered by their parents. They found pills and swallowed pills and died. Madam Speaker, the amendment before you takes some of the standards of House Bill 1092 and applies it so that way the imminent physical harm standard doesn't create a barrier for caseworkers and social workers that are working through these situations.
So after the amendment was introduced, a number of Republicans gave very impassioned testimony about the importance of protecting kids.
I can't read about a four-month-old dying because of a fentanyl overdose.
When I was 10, that's when my stepfather came into my life. And in fifth grade, I got my first black eye from him. And you know what the state did? They had him sign a piece of paper that he wouldn't hit me again.
We get to fix it now, and it is our responsibility to do that. I'm asking you to add this amount to the budget so that we can go home and say we've saved some lives. Otherwise, 1 year from today, there's going to be another 100 babies dead.
The social workers are begging, please do something about this. This subject makes me want to crawl out of my own skin, Madam Speaker, and we don't have any more time.
As that debate is going on, State Senator Julia Reed was on her Blue Sky account, very busy posting about what Republicans were saying and doing. She said, "We're starting off with 20 plus Republican amendments on this bill. Since Republicans don't have the ability to stop the budget bill, this debate is their chance to air their grievances, conspiracy theories, and try to force us into disingenuous roll call votes that they can clip to make us look bad." She said, unfortunately, the 3-minute rule doesn't kick in until Monday, so we have to listen to up to 10 minutes of the most lurid Republican talking points you could imagine per speaker. She said current Republican speaker, who previously said she was totally fine with immigrants being rounded up, now says it is our job to take care of the most vulnerable and babies. She then goes on to refer to State Representative Travis Couture, saying screaming into your microphone just isn't the way to get your point across. But this Republican speaker definitely loves this style. So I think Republicans were most offended by her comments referring to their talking points as lurid or conspiracy theories, as they were, again, giving very emotional testimony about the importance to deal with a very real issue in Washington state, which is a growing number of children who are dying after drug exposure in the home. But so far, Julia Reed has not apologized for those comments she made on social media. That has been this week's edition of Politics Unpacked. We've got one more week to go in the legislative session and still a ton of work to be done. The session officially ends on March 12th, and we'll see whether Democrats can get their income tax across the finish line before then. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42. Stay and fight. Sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that and get involved in the political process in Washington state. And to catch regular episodes of Undivided Monday through Thursday, make sure to become a subscriber at undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and follow us across all social media platforms.